Langley recently with a plain and simple dream. Wanna infiltrate some third world place and topple their regime. Those men in black with their mansion suitcases, where everything's on a need-to-know basis. Agents got that swagger, everyone's so cloak and dagger. I'm feeling nervous, but I'm really kinda wishing for an undercover mission. That's when the red alert came on the radio, and I put my earpiece on. Got my dark sunglasses on, and I had my weapon drawn. So I get my handcuffs, my cyanide pills, my classified dossier. Timing the phones like, yeah. Shredding the files like, yeah. I memorized all the enemy spies. I gotta neutralize today. Yeah, it's a party in the CIA.
Why?
That's my favorite song. We played that one with Lyle, but Bruce never heard it. So
never ever.
I didn't want to cheat him out of it. There are actually three verses. I picked the best one though. All right. So this is the beginning of the second hour of We the People Radio. We're going to be talking about some fun things this hour. Not funny, but like. Kind of wow fun, I guess,
yeah, for that. National security items.
National security items. There you have it. And we have a sponsor this hour.
Our sponsor this hour is Team Power. Go up and see them. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard. They're our local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer. And they'll do a great job for you, parts, sales, and service. Their phone number is 226-9226. New, used, they've got it all going on up there, and a great bunch of folks, and they'll give you a great deal on a tractor. You can also get them online or on the web at readingtractors.com. Phone number 226-9226.
Because if you're going to buy a tractor, it should be either green or orange, because the rest of them kind of suck.
Yeah, they're all copycats.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah.
Just a little trailer I put there on your commercial.
Yeah, thanks for that. Now you know why they do a disclaimer at the beginning.
I know. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's so handy. Yeah, as long as we have it, might as well use it.
Stay out of my commercial.
Don't want to waste. So, all right, Bruce. So we figured
come
we were...
with the twin 50 cals on them?
When we deliver it, it'll be just exactly the way you want it.
Exactly
that's right.
Okay, what you want.
Bulletproof, under over, and two twin 50 cals on top.
With no pop tires.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right, so where do we want to talk about all this? Do you want to do the dossier stuff now?
Did we really get all John Brennan's stuff out
no.
there?
I think.
Are we done mocking him?
We can bring in Chuck and talk about the other part of this, but let's start from the beginning of the dossier. I think that's a good area to.
Sure.
This was a very appalling to me. I mean, from the get-go. And it's not really been talked about in the news. And here we have Christopher Steele, who's MI6. That's an ally.
Yeah.
Used to be.
He's doing spying on a U.S. president and coming up with dirt on a U.S. president. What the heck is going on here, America?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you have an ally, MI6.
And this was during the election, though, right? This is all
be supported through an FBI group, and then Bruce Orr later, after they said he was discredited, probably not discredited, but they had to say he was. That's what I'm saying. This is way beyond the scope of just, you know, what we call a James Bond movie. This is high end.
Oh, they were so out of line. Yeah,
and it's infiltrated the. CIA and the FBI, and a lot of people are livid about this. So I'm trying to address this on a scale where people can get an idea of the possibilities and how this transpired and where we can go from there.
Well, I think you did a pretty good job with the material you sent, putting it in somewhat of a chronological order on the dossier. Who handled it prior to it going to a judge? What was not disclosed to the judge in order to get the
warrant?
So
for all those people who haven't read it and who aren't online,
yeah, go.
Let's buzz through that.
Yeah, we could buzz through it. It's
well, I'm appalled at that. Judicial Watch did a fine job with Tom and everybody.
Sure.
Where did the information initially come from? And Christopher Steele, MI6, is Orbis. So they're talking about Fusion GPS, but for all intents and purposes, there's a huge problem here, folks, that MI6 or others that are related to MI6 had been involved in trying to take down the President of the United States when he was running, when this first came out. He was a president-elect, then he was the candidate, and then he was actually a president. And they kept going with the FISA warrants.
Mm-hmm.
So it ticks me off. I mean, they were relentless. And then you see all the other stuff coming up later, character assassination to psych ops. I mean, they tried doing that at the beginning, and but then it got, in the last month, it's picked up. It's really driving me to the point where I'm saying, this is just ridiculous. And the American public should be told, at least to the best of our ability, that what's going on and how this came about in a certain way where it's just not right to have foreign interference in our own elections. They're talking about the Russians, and that's like piddly to compare to what was being done, spying on the President of the United States, the President-elect of the United States, the transition team, the Trump family, and, everybody working on a campaign, going all the way back to Carter, and Mike Flynn, oh my gosh,
Yeah, he got crushed.
That's despicable.
Yep.
That's so deplorable. I mean, it's hard for me to...
Well, nobody's safe. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Bottom line is, if you're an ally of somebody they don't like, you're a target. Doesn't really matter if you did anything or not. They're coming after you. And if they can't find anything direct, they'll make up some stuff. They'll go back 15 years or however long you got to go.
Yeah. So they call it a opposition research dossier. Well, it's really spying. No one's talking about that. It's
sure.
Basically spying on the president. Or president-elect. Or, a presidential candidate on the Republican Party.
So where did Steele get all this information? Who was he working with?
That's the question.
Himself.
We know he was working there, but who was behind him at Orbis and who was supporting his efforts directly or indirectly, entities or governments or other intelligence networks. That's what I go into there explaining.
And what exactly is Orbis? And it's O-R-B, like boy, I-S, right?
That's his company.
Okay. So is it just him?
No. They're international. For all intents and purposes, you want to know what they're doing, how they're doing it, to what extent they're doing it, and who they're doing it with, and who they recruited to do it. I mean, that's pretty extensive. That's doing a complete background on... I'm thinking they're running for their cover right now, because we talked about this earlier in the week, and they don't know what to do. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're our brothers and sisters. They all know who we are, too. And if some of them have gone to the extent to try to remove a president of the United States, and, maybe Rosenstein, was talking about the 25th Amendment, we don't know to what extent that was part of the whole larger, framework of what they were doing. How far did it go up? Who was involved? To what extent was it involved? And how were they doing this? That's the question. And... that's where I'm appalled. I'm really appalled. I'm beside myself that, we have all these ideals and, these are our friends, and how did it come about? We know, Christopher Steele uses resources and network. His network is MI6. We're talking about the elite British clandestine efforts all over the world. These guys are good. They know us. We know them. See what I mean?
Yeah, and
we're
when did
brothers and sisters?
When did
so
this,
what's going on here?
When did this dossier first? When did we? I mean, not the general public, but when did this first kind of hit the scene? Because it seems like we've been hearing about it for a long time, but not really. Did the public or did anybody know about this before the election, or was it only after?
No, this was before. I mean, they talked about it as being part of the FISA warrant.
Right, but we didn't hear about any of that stuff until after Trump was elected.
Oh, no.
Right? Did we hear about this before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it was done way before.
Seems like we've been hearing about it for years, but I know it hasn't been that long.
It was developed to keep him from being elected.
I know, but did we know that? Did the
What I'm talking about, we didn't know about.
Yeah, okay.
What I was talking about, we knew about.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Wow.
I don't actually have a song for that,
and I'm so sorry.
Everybody's eyes were on a Fusion GPS.
Okay.
See, that's different than what I'm talking about.
That's true. All right, we're gonna figure out what we're talking about. We're gonna come back and talk about it in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People. Our guest is Bruce Moran. He is with Security Solutions Technology, and we're going to be talking about what we're talking about with the dossier here in just a couple minutes. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
That I see walking in these woods. Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, so who's the big bad wolf?
Exactly.
Hey, we're talking about the dossier, and I wanted to read one paragraph from the information you sent, Bruce. It kind of says a lot about the dossier. The FBI also had reason to view his research with skepticism on grounds that its tabloid-like allegations and also on the near fantastical claims of skill that underlay it. That a man who had been out of official spy rings for 7 years was nonetheless able, in a matter of weeks, and with just a few calls from London, where he lives, to unravel an international conspiracy that eluded the CIA, FBI, MI6, and every other Western intelligence agency, all of which have access to the globe's most sophisticated surveillance tools. So, Christopher Steele was a smart guy. I mean, he had all this right there.
He was a visionary.
He was a visionary. And they took this information, edited it or not, or who knows who had it prior, and gave it to a judge to get the warrant. And I don't know how they can get away with that. And I just hope that somewhere down the road that someone's held accountable. Because they shouldn't be able to do that. You're up, Bruce.
That is part of a small piece that I'm conveying and Chuck are conveying in this presentation on national security,
mm-hmm.
on how it relates to a dossier, any kind of dossier and a warrant that goes before the FISA court. You have to have your facts right. You have to have your intelligence right. From what we can see, it's just not done in a short period of time.
No.
You want to know how far back it goes, how many people were involved with it, and, you know, where it was planned strategically and operationally went into effect. And I'm talking about where in England, where he lives, maybe Europe, where he associates his, contacts with in the clandestine
right.
efforts, and then where in Russia, and then where in Canada, because we saw this also took place in Canada. So how did this all come about? And, see, I can ask the questions. I may know some of the answers, but what I'm trying to do is lay the groundwork to open people's eyes to this is much larger national security problem that's being presented right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a huge problem in national security breaches and what was used and how it was used and who these people were, you know. I mean, what we're looking at is how was the FBI and the CIA involved with this? Because the CIA is, you know, all over the world, like MI6. So you have a larger extent of networks or tentacles where a lot of information is shared back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
With all our brothers and sisters and everybody in, you know, the State Department and all throughout the world. That's what I'm saying. So how was it used? To what extent was it used? And how did they mask it? And what part of it was all clandestine? And how did this all come about? For all intents and purposes, it doesn't come about in 2 weeks, like it said there.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then, so what's all this connection? You have a note in here. I don't know if I'm above or below the part Bill was doing, but so why was Senator McCain handling backdoor operations for the dossier at the Halifax Security Conference? What's up with that? And that was the first place to accept the dossier. And was that the first time we heard about it?
My question is, what was the Halifax conference?
Oh, okay. I figured I just didn't know.
What you don't know either. There in the first place.
Right.
What was it supposed to be?
It's a security conference, but what else were they doing there?
Well, yeah, obviously.
Okay, that's the question. That's
okay, right. All right. So,
if Sir Andrew Wood had the dossier information and he's handing it off, that's to Senator McCain, and then this is going before a secret FISA court. How secret is the information, you know?
Yeah, right. No kidding. So then what did McCain do with it?
He gave it to the
FBI.
Then he gave it to the FBI.
Yeah.
So then... Yeah, so why didn't they give it to the FBI?
Yeah, or anybody else.
Yeah.
Because it's interfering with a presidential campaign.
Right.
Yeah.
And so has anybody asked them that?
I don't know what's going on in the committees behind closed doors.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we haven't heard about any of that out in the free world.
No.
No, but that kind of shows you how deep this goes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And
who was involved,
and who's involved.
Maybe it's people that don't, you know.
Could it be people who just didn't want Trump to be president? John McCain? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that just kind of shows you how deep and how many people in Europe and the EU and Britain and Germany, all these countries that didn't want their little apple cart upset, and they knew Trump was going to upset the apple cart. And so let's see what we can do to kind of keep him from being elected. And do you think a lot of this happened, Bruce, because they didn't think Trump had a chance of winning, and so they were going to, you know, we would have never known about any of this had Hillary won the election. This would have never come to light. And that might have been why it was a little bit sloppy, because they really didn't believe Trump would be elected. Does that sound right?
If you work in the areas that I'm speaking of, everything's a possibility. So you're prepared with contingency plans to handle it.
Well, it doesn't sound like their contingency plan was very good when Trump got elected.
I'm not saying that at all. You're saying that.
Right.
You don't know what the contingency plan is. You're looking at it superficially.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's very sophisticated, and it had greater undertones.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I agree. I think there was a lot of players here.
So just for time frame, when was this Halifax conference? Ballpark.
I think we're in 17 with that. I'm going to have to look that up.
Okay. I just was curious.
Yeah.
Your note here. So much for secret dossier information being secret for the FISA court when everybody and their mother had, you know, copies of it, was feeding it to the media. That whole thing is... I don't know. Breathtaking. Has this ever happened? Can you think of an instance where this has happened in the past?
Not to the scale.
All right.
Not to the FBI. Not to the CIA. Not at all.
Hmm. Wow. And
that's why it's appalling.
And are they investigating any of this that you know of, or is this all just...
Well, Tom Fitton's doing his end with Judicial Watch on the front end with Fusion GPS.
Mm-hmm.
They've come up with so much stuff.
Well,
the Judicial Watch.
The front end out. It's hard to prove the back end out.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, one of the things moving down your list here was, we were talking about FISA warrants and how those FISA warrants are obtained and what we need to do to keep this from happening again. Do you want to go there?
And skip all the other stuff? Okay.
No.
No,
wait,
how much time do we got left?
Half hour.
We got about 30 minutes.
Translate to
you want to go back
and
pick it up where we left off? Maybe that would be better.
Yeah, we can invite Chuck on, then we can go over some of the things we're passing by. Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, Chuck was supposed to come on, but he couldn't get on today.
He was tied up today. Okay.
So I'm, taking the helm for as much as I can here. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. I can go into greater details. But we're talking about espionage and terrorism, and that goes into, clandestine work and ghost operations using 5E and things like that. And that's what has to be looked into. And what I'm saying here, and I'm going to say it this way, they should never do it again and never get involved in the U.S. election. These are our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Find themselves in this kind of position, just stay away. Because you're getting called on the rug for it right now. And... it's just not right.
Right.
If you think you can monkey around with the U.S., you got, there could be severe repercussions.
Right. No, I think there's huge lessons to be learned here.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
And the way I said it. So,
mm-hmm.
Was Christopher Steele actually working, because he worked for us for a while, and I know he was part of MI6. What was he doing when he was doing all this?
Everybody knows each other when they're working with the Russians, and the Russians know you're working on the other side.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing a secret here except
sure.
Secret with them.
Right. Except for the fact that, yeah, they were investigating.
The reason why he had to come forward is because I think 8 of them were exposed in Europe. So he's one of the 8 of MI6.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
So the other time I can talk about this is Eldridge Ames, and he's still serving time, when he was caught. But we lost 8 of our operatives. They were killed by the Russians. So that was a serious,
Wow.
Yeah, so it can get that far and that serious. And that's where I don't want to go. And, if people who are our allies are doing things geopolitically to protect their interest and to counter American policy programs, that's the right to do that. But the consequences are they're sacrificing their own national security and ours, and we can't allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
We can't allow that to happen.
Well, you know that Trump was an outsider when you have this many insiders doing everything they can to torpedo him. I mean, that's that's kind of obvious. Got to take another really quick break. We'll be back with our guest, Bruce Moran. He is with Security Solutions Technology. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Each there's a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow.
you have it.
My good, my FBI songs are all used up now.
Yeah.
If somebody would make a new one, I'd use it, darn it.
Okay.
All right, Bruce, where do you want to go?
Okay, so the Halifax Conference was November 16th, 17th, and 18th. So it's just right after the election.
Uh-huh.
It was during the transition, okay?
Oh, yeah.
President Trump was forming a transition team, and he was president-elect. So they're coming in full force at that time.
Now that the worst had happened, this was their insurance policy, and
that's what was said by
Peter Strzok.
Correct.
Yeah.
Maybe Strauss and Lisa Page. So, you know, or that would have been by.
That's it.
No, that was Peter Strzok that said that.
Yeah, their little Lisa insurance Page. Policy.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of information I have running up in my head, and I want to make sure I get that right. That's why I want to make sure that the Halifax Conference in Canada was correct, so people know chronologically how they can think about this and what means people were using to, go after the President of the United States.
Yeah, so John McCain would
remember that at the time when he had Michael Flynn, too, right then.
Oh, that's right.
That's true.
Yeah, and, you know, it wasn't, all these other people. They went after the person they thought would be the one who would directly move President Trump's agenda forward the quickest, the fastest.
Get him off the playing field.
They got him off the playing field.
Right. But, I mean, that was the plan was, let's see, who's the biggest problem for us? Flynn, let's get rid of him first.
That's right.
And that was a precision strike on him.
That's right.
Yeah, it's sad that.
I was excited when they named him. I thought, well, he'll be awesome.
Well, one of the things I was reading here, too, we were talking about.
H.R. McMaster came in, and, he did, a decent job, as you saw with a lot of these programs that were instituted, under President Trump and Mathis and Pompeii and Ambassador Haley. But even with his own dad in the care center being killed, pummeled in the head, you have to wonder what's going on,
I didn't know about that.
Wait. Who was that? McMaster?
Yeah, his dad was in an elder care center, and evidently they got bludgeoned in the head.
Holy cow.
So, I mean, if things are not looking good, it's not looking good for what the heck is going on,
Yeah.
So people can look that up, and you can have him answer it and what he feels, if it was an accident or, it was a criminal act, but it didn't seem right when it surfaced, and he's our national security advisor, to the president.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
One of the things I guess I didn't realize that you'd mentioned in some of the stuff you sent us was that we're talking about Strzok and Page. Strzok and Page were having an affair.
Who were
both FBI, but then she also had an affair with one of the FISA judges.
The one that recruits himself, that's correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're fighting kind of an uphill struggle here.
I've got a lot of songs for that, but we won't play them.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, so, here's my point on that. Whatever they wanted to do was their personal business. That's okay by me. But the point of departure comes that they're working on, he was head of a counterterrorism unit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supporting that effort, and then they had to deal with FISA warrants.
Right.
That, to me, is a national security violation on their parts.
Well, it's a huge
compromise. That's what I'm saying.
Conflict of interest there, too.
Yeah, that's different, though, but the compromise part, here's a point that probably people aren't taking up, and who was compromised in the CIA because of that? They made him step down. General Petraeus.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's right. And now we have Lisa Page and Peter Strzok in there, and they're having a compromised relationship. I don't care if they had a relationship. You see what I mean? That's their personal business. But when they're working on counterterrorism and they can be put at risk.
Right, right.
Their families, and I don't know what, they can get killed. And that's the kind of thing that's not right, just from a national security perspective. That's a security breach. But you know, that's the kind of thing that can cause numerous problems, and that's just in the FBI there. You know, and the CIA had the same problem, you know, or, you know, DEA, or, you know, the kind of things that go on, or, you know, between the people themselves, and that's okay. But to the extent you do it and what your job responsibilities are to your country, see what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It's different. The responsibilities of the country came first.
Sure.
Not what they're doing in their personal lives.
Right.
Coming first.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, except that their responsibilities to the country, from their perspective, were different than what we thought they should be doing. I mean,
okay, you can say it that way.
Yeah, I mean, they were keeping their responsibilities in order.
They're responsible for a lot of clandestine activities that are underneath them going on with all the different maskings and the FISA warrants.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Were issued. It's just not this one group with Carter Page. It's a whole slew of things that transpired when they're in there and, you know, how can they get compromised, and the Chinese, the Russians, you know, anybody coming in and putting them on edge and twisting them, you know, or, you know, eliminating them.
Right.
And then forcing the other one to, you know, tell them what's going on with the FISA warrants on the Russians or, you know, whoever they're doing.
Well, and also with this type of activity going on within the departments,
we're talking also about counterterrorism here. So what was the number one counterterrorist thing we talked about earlier? I want to emphasize this.
Okay.
ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
If they're working on this kind of stuff and they get compromised and ISIS, you know, terrorist comes through and eliminates them and starts compromising our FBI at that level. You see what I mean?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a different story, Connors, you know.
Well, the other part that you had outlined in here, and I've completely blown the outline because I don't know where we are in it now. But
I know. I mean, it's easy to cover a lot of territory. That's what I'm saying.
I know. There's a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm feeling a little hamster on a wheel here. I just want to make sure we don't run out of time before we tell people things that I don't think they have heard before. The fact that Page was sleeping with a judge, I think, I'm not sure that that's been widely circulated. And the other whole idea that they were investigating something at a level that actually should have been done through the field office, the chain of command on how all these investigations should be done. Maybe you could get into some of that to let people know just how, I mean, nobody knows anything about how the FBI works, really, you know. I mean, we don't know how it's supposed to work, so we wouldn't know if they did it wrong.
Yeah, the FBI headquarters is basically a function of management, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's Director Comey, Andrew McCabe, you know, Stratz. He's like a manager, and the head director would be, you know, Comey, or the acting director would be McCabe. And they usually give it to a field office where there's a special agent in charge and a assistant special agent in charge. They call it SAC and ASAC. And then over there, they'll have a, call it a squad leader or field leader, and he's the agent in charge of several agents. And then they'll sign a case to the, a particular agent or co-agent that work together on it.
And they're the ones that actually do the investigating.
That's the investigation part, yeah.
Right.
So how was all this being handled up through top management, which really normally handled down... It's not down, you see what I mean? It's handled by people who can go out in the field and actually do the investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're, you know... So a conflict of interest would be, from my perspective, he's handling two major historical investigations that are running concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
The Hillary Clinton email investigation, and he's doing the one on the Russian collusion on President Trump. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, how can anybody in management at the FBI say that's okay? I mean, that's a question they need to, you know, talk about.
Well, yeah, they need to ask that, because I think that that gets to the point of how many people were involved in, you know, this biased... Say it again?
The other way around.
How few people were involved.
Yeah. And who should have been involved.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So
what's the normal versus, you know, what they wanted to have done.
So all your checks and balances basically went out the window with all of this.
Well, let them answer it. See, I asked the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I mean, those are questions that are important to be asked.
But in real life, an investigation, if they were investigating something, it wouldn't be done at that level. That's not where the investigating comes. That's where the overview of the investigation is done.
Well, he's the FBI director, so he directs it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they give it to a SAC, a Special Agent Commander in the Office. And then the ASAC and him, you know, work it out. And then they got their all the other things you know about counterterrorism in that office. And they got to find out the field supervisor, and they talk to him, and then they got to give it to an agent or a co-agent that work on it. That's kind of, that goes back 30 years, you know, so.
Yeah.
So I, you know, these are important things that need to be addressed, you know.
I
think being assigned two key historical cases is definitely a conflict of interest, you know. So
it's a conflict of interest, but to say it's criminal, that's kind of a different story, isn't it?
Well, that's when you get into what actually happened.
Yeah, what did they actually do? How much did they insert?
That's why you gotta, you know, you're finding out more and more. So, you know,
well. And you just know
it looks really bad. You know, what you're saying is, you know, it could go there, and then, you know.
And like you were saying, why?
Pointing out what a good attorney asks questions. A good investigator, that's what I'm doing. I'm asking the questions.
Right. But you're right. It looks bad.
I'm not claiming one way or the other. That's what the House and Senate are there for, in oversight. You know, that's what the Justice Department is there for.
Right.
That's what the president needs to come to terms with when he makes decisions about what they're looking at with the disclosure of the FISA, you know, FISA warrants and dossiers.
Well, you have these
high-end disclosures, high-end investigative processes that have to be addressed.
Sure.
Now, I'm talking about all the way back to Orbis. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. You're picking up one here. We got a whole slew of things that look not too good and appalling.
No. It's a whole chain of disaster that actually you don't have to fill in any blanks. They're all really right there for you. I really hope people will go review this information. We're basically just hitting the high points of this, but there's a tremendous amount of information, and it's not just opinion. There's all sorts of backup information. We've posted it all. It's at wethepeopleradio.us today. That we're first airing this is September 23rd of 2018, just in case we actually replay this on another day and get y'all confused. But hope you go look at it, and we'll be right back in 2 minutes with our guest, Bruce Moran.
The fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher, and it burns, burns, burns.
I like the Elmer Fudd version of this song.
I just like the hell overtones.
And it burns,
yeah.
Burns.
I mean, honestly, these guys are all in the ring of fire at this point. They have stepped in it big time. And people are, you know, hey, if we can figure it out.
I mean, Hannity's been talking about certain facets of the front end. Lou Dobbs is covering a little bit of middle end, you know, and the front end. Tom Fitton, you know, Judicial Watch, doing a terrific job. But there's a larger, picture at play on strategic plans and operations and how all this went down. And that's what you're talking about, Johnny Cash and the Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
That is just appalling and pathetic. And you know, our brothers and sisters out there in Ukraine and Europe, thank you for listening to, and God bless you all. We're just trying to get some semblance of what's going on here politically and with the investigative services and how they've possibly been manipulated and used in the presidential election. So that's where we're at. It's really something you couldn't write in a novel.
No.
No.
It'd be too long.
Wouldn't be believable.
It'd be too complicated. It'd be like those Russian ones where you can't
we're
keep track of the names.
What we're trying to do here is clarify the questions that need to be asked, understand the dynamic we're working in, what has happened in a short period of time of 8-9 months, and how serious it was, and national security breaches that occurred, FISA warrant problems, the FISA application itself, the people involved with the FISA warrant application. If you go to the end of the material, it talks about very serious questions that need to be asked and where you need to go from there. There was a Brennan report that talked about the FISA problems back in 2015. If these problems exist back then people knew how to manipulate the system to their favor politically, and they are never, settled. You see what I mean?
Which that kind of surprised me. Brennan came out with that report.
No, that's not John Brennan. This is a different Brennan.
Oh, okay. All right.
Don't confuse the two.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about it. I mean, it's confusing enough as it is to try to figure out who Fivey is and, what Cherry Blossom is, and because we deal with it all the time.
Yeah.
You know that there's always going to be a man in the middle, and they can make a false footprint pretending they're somebody else who they're not.
Yeah.
You can blame it on, the Chinese, the Russians, or anybody else.
But you think that's part of what...
James Comey knew this, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not anything new in these circles, but it's, as you look at the Cherry Blossom project and the way they use it, they can come into the TV, to your car, to your stereo. So that's a problem if you're investigating the Senate Intelligence Committee and they're using these techniques on mm-hmm. your own U.S. Congress.
Yeah.
And there's John Brennan right there, front and center, and he wants a security clearance.
Yeah.
See what I mean? And it doesn't prove itself out. You can't say who John Brennan was. You have to look at what John Brennan's actions were.
Right.
Does he deserve a security clearance?
No.
For all intents and purposes, if you look at historically what he's done and his positions and with the previous administration are different than what the positions with this current administration is and what they've done, and how effective they've been with President Kim, Syria, ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different.
Right.
And it's a transformational foreign policy by President Trump, doing a tremendous job. And, again, Ambassador Haley, Vice President Pence, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And all our friends at the Heritage Foundation, that help out. There's a lot of people helping out here and making their contributions. As you saw, Jim Carafino's name was mentioned there. And he knows the score. So there's a lot of different ways of looking at it, and everybody's trying to do their best effort to support the national security interest of the United States of America. Chuck and I are making our contribution.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing because, Watergate was such a big scandal. And honestly, this makes Watergate look like a lemonade stand operation.
That you're giving the lemonade stand too much credit.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to think of something small.
Isn't that the truth? This thing is so complex.
I mean, this is far beyond a lemonade stand, And
no, but I mean, they got
goes into so bad, it's just.
Yeah, I mean, that was considered a big scandal, and yet this, every time you turn around, and I wanted to make sure and mention for people who wanted more information or just were looking for other corroboration on this. Now, let's not forget, at the exact same time all this stuff is happening, there is that document that we spoke with Dr. Lyle Rapacki about on September 2nd, so this was a few weeks ago, and he went into great detail, but we listed the document that was published about how to take down the president, basically. How to Take Out Trump. And that came out at the beginning of 2017. Mm-hmm. So all these things were hitting at the exact same time. And I don't think that happened after the election. I mean, I think you'd have to be kind of an idiot to think that they somehow got all this stuff off the ground that quickly. They had it all staged and ready to go.
It didn't have to be Trump being elected. Remember that. Could have been somebody else you were going to come after.
Well, that's the frightening part.
Not Hillary.
Anybody they didn't like. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, if Hillary lost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What if Ted Cruz won, or, you know...
Sure, they would have geared it up for him, too. But, I mean, let's face it, by November, they knew, you know, they had Hillary or Trump, but...
So then you focus on what you need to focus on.
Right. Just,
and that's what you do.
It's just amazing, though, you know, people...
Know what your target is.
Yeah. People felt like they, you know, they had sent a clear message to the to the powers that be, and the powers that be are like, no, I don't think so. We're gonna unravel your deal, and we're gonna use other people on the world stage to do it, which is just stunning, actually.
Yeah, and why, you know, use an MI6 agent?
Yeah, right.
Unless he had a lot of connections, and you know, they know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you think
these aren't stupid people.
At Orbis, and who backfunded Orbis? See what I mean?
Right.
Right.
I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on here, folks, and it just doesn't happen in a way which looks like superficial. This is heavy-duty stuff.
Well, and I'm still a little bit shocked that they did it in what appears to be such an open manner, thinking that Trump would never, this would stop the inevitable, and they've left themselves so exposed.
Judicial Watch was being pushed back. The House Oversight Committee when Nunes was being pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff was just coming into revelation, you know,
right.
In the last 4, 5, 6 months, you know, a lot of things.
Right.
So it's slowly, you know, you're seeing how this all, Hannity was a dog on it, you know?
Oh, yeah, and they tried to take him out, too, and they couldn't do it. But
yeah,
no,
they tried to get him on a...
He's been instrumental.
He said, she said deal.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I don't want to get into anything else that's going on. I want to, our direction, you know, here and what has gone on in the federal government at the national security level. This
right.
is a critical part of what protects all our citizens, our God-given liberties, rights, and freedoms to the nth degree, to the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
If they are usurping our U.S. Constitution and not abiding by it, then that's as appalling can get.
Exactly. And if they can do it once, they can do it twice, and that's why this should be
stopped.
It should absolutely be cut off at the knees at this point, because all it'll do is get bigger, worse, and more.
And anybody could be a target.
More covert.
We aren't the America we're supposed to be.
Well,
anymore.
You look at you know you're not going to have people running for office that you want. You're just not.
I'm saying not here. Remember what I said earlier? Our brothers and sisters that possibly did it overseas. That were working against the President of the United States.
Yeah.
Stop and desist.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Call it on the rug. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, Bruce, we're going to go out
thank
with...
thank you very much.
We're going to go out with Eye of the Tiger. President.
Okay.
We'll give the President the theme song there.
Yeah, God bless America and all of us and everybody overseas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much, Bruce. And
thanks
we'll
a million.
Be talking to you soon.
I know we'll be talking to you again. Please check all the information we've posted at wethepeopleradio.us. See you next week. Survivors, don't forget.